Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rick Hahn, the vice president, general manager of the Chicago White Sox, nice enough to take some time on a Saturday morning to join us in Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Gosh, you guys have been busy. Isn't that a good thing? I mean, not everything, as we find out, work out exactly, but you promised that you were going to be busy this year. You promised that 2020-21 were the time that you expected to pick things up, and so far it seems like you're delivering.
So far. Obviously, you know, we still have work to do, but at the same time, we're obviously quite pleased to have added Yasmani Grandal to, much to no one's surprise, bringing back Jose Abreu. And we're intrigued by some of the talks we have going on right now. Obviously, you can't convert on everything, a point that was publicly driven home this past week. But at the same time, we know that regardless of, you know, whether we convert on one specific target or not, there's still a lot of reasons to be excited based on the guys we currently have, much less what we may add in the coming weeks.
Rick, I'm wondering just how important Jose Abreu's presence was in luring Yasmani Grandal. There's a moment where Grandal said, "We'll all follow Abreu to the promised land." And it made me pause and think about his place among Cuban baseball players specifically.
It's awfully important. I don't know specifically, you know, what percentage that weighed in for Yaz when he made his decision. I know there were a number of factors ranging from Abreu's presence to what he personally saw when he took the time to do a video review of the starters we currently have and the ones we have coming. I know that overall he felt that this was a place that not only was positioned to potentially win repeatedly in the coming years, but one where he could have a great impact on a young staff and help to mold them. This guy, we obviously didn't have the chance other than, I believe, a conference call for the Chicago media to get to know him. There'll be another chance, you know, come Sox Fest, and then over the course of next year, I think Sox fans are going to realize just how special this kid is, Grandal, in terms of how committed he is to his craft and helping others. You know, he's obviously a great offensive presence. You know, the switch-hitting ability, the power from the left side, the ability to get on base are all what the doctors ordered for this lineup going forward. But I tell you, this guy, number one goal and number one priority is to make the pitchers better. He's texting me 2-3 times a week still with stuff he had seen on our guys and conversations he's had with our guys about how he thinks we're going to be able to get them better in the coming months.
Rick Hahn joining us on Inside the Clubhouse right before the winter meetings that begin tomorrow night in San Diego. Rick, how do you not get caught up and actually distracted by the marketplace? And when I say that, you know, you have Cole and you have Strasburg at the top. You have a lot of other guys like Wheeler that were in that next level. And then you might be talking about, you know, guys like Keuchel and Bumgarner and Ryu as the next level. But the money dictates the marketplace, or the market dictates the money. And how do you not get caught up in doing something that, you know, you really don't want to do, but you're left with few choices?
No, it's a great question. And regardless of what segment of the market you're talking about, whether it's the absolute top or even at the other extreme of more complementary players that you're trying to sign to fill in, you are subject to the market. And sometimes that's going to be a little more robust than you originally projected things out to be. We do our best to try to, before the offseason really gets started in earnest, to sort of set our own parameters, our own expectations on what a guy's value is based on his, you know, many factors from health to projected performance. And you try to be true to those. I'm not going to lie, you know, in the moment and while you're negotiating, while you can almost, you know, taste being able to get something done, there is a bit of momentum that builds up that could lead you to deviate from that. And we have in the past. We have deviated from those, you know, more objective, cold calculated projections of what a guy should cost. You try to balance that, the emotional side at the end game versus the more objective side when the when the fever pitch wasn't going, and still try to do a deal that not only gets you the player, but obviously on terms that doesn't put you in a bad spot going forward. So I'd be lying if I didn't say there was this sort of, I don't know, momentum or emotional or fever pitch side to things when you're in the competitiveness of the, you feel the competitiveness of the free agent market and you feel like you're close getting a guy that leads to you to stretching. And it's unavoidable, at least the way we go about it. So it's a balancing act and can be a challenge.
And then the agent's preference might get in there. I mean, I wonder if there's one agent who perhaps would hold his guy until January or February, and can you wait around if that target is not going to sign right away? And then what happens if you miss with other guys? This is all part of the act, the balancing?
Right. Exactly right, Speaks. I mean, that's a great point and a nuanced one that can get lost. You know, these things aren't simply a matter of, hey, we'll pay you X times Y, and you got 24 hours. And expect to get a pure yes in that time. A lot of times guys are understandably, and that's what they're paid to do, the agents are strategic about how they want this market to unfold for their guys. And sometimes they have a, you know, perhaps a quote-unquote buy now price if you want to do something today. Otherwise, they're going to wait. And, you know, these players, the thing that, you know, no one should lose sight of is the guys who've gotten, you know, through 6 years of major league service and gotten to free agency, they've worked so hard to get there and have paid their dues, and, you know, some of them have overcome injuries and worked their way back, that you can't fault them for playing out the market however they see fit and making their decisions in the end based upon any factor that's important to them. A lot of times, maybe not a lot of times, but sometimes, it's not about money. It's about location. It's about comfort. It's about, you know, whatever other factor may come into an individual's decision about where they want to work. That can be frustrating because you want these deals done yesterday, and you want to be able to convert on all your targets as quickly as possible. But there's a lot of factors that go into these things, and certainly the agent's plan in terms of how they want the market to unfold to maximize their guys' earnings and the timing of that market is a real factor.
Looking at your needs, and they seem to be pretty much out there, and you guys haven't shied away from them, you know, knowing that you need a couple of starting pitchers, one good one at least, and maybe another one to go along with your inventory, and an outfielder, preferably a left-handed hitter, but not necessarily so. Are we missing anything as far as maybe you need a middle infielder to, you know, kind of augment, you know, what Madrigal will be, what, you know, Anderson does, and, you know, someone to solidify that? I know you have Leori to do some of those things, but is that a possibility as well on your wish list this offseason?
Is it a possibility? Sure. I think what you identified is very fair, both from the standpoint of having more guys who can cover you in the middle is better than fewer, and the fact that we do have Leori and Danny Mendick who provide some flexibility for us positionally with Madrigal coming at some point. You know, we do, we're all of us in the front office, all White Sox fans, you know, we are all, I think, similarly excited to get to that next stage where this group starts gelling together. And, you know, I think we're on the precipice of it. At the same time, we do have to take a bit of a longer-term view, as we have over the last few years, when it comes to individual player development. You know, we'd love to have, you know, guys like Madrigal, as you referenced, up here as soon as possible and contributing. But we do have to time that based upon what's best for his development and putting him in the best position to succeed for the long term. So having a guy, whether it's Leury or Danny Mendick or someone we bring in from the outside to sort of, you know, remove some of the internal pressure or desire to get that clock going on a guy, get him moving into the big league, you know, environment, that helps. That does help. It's not essential, I don't think, for this offseason because of Leury and Mendick, And because Madrigal may force the issue quickly on us, but having a little more depth in that area certainly wouldn't hurt.
In terms of developing together, and we're talking with Rick Hahn here of the White Sox on Inside the Clubhouse and 670 The Score, count me among those, Rick, who wanted to see Luis Robert in September, wants to see him on opening day, mm-hmm. La Pantera, as the teammates call him. I see a benefit of him being next to Eloy Jimenez in that outfield as much as possible from moment one. Do you see that benefit, and does that make you think about the service time issue differently at all?
You know, we really, and people won't, you know, take this as credible, I suppose, but we really don't spend a ton of time talking about the service time issue. It's about putting these guys again in the best position to succeed for the long term. I agree, he's going to be next to Eloy for a long time. When that starts, we'll just have to wait and see. Let's see how he looks in spring training. Let's see how, you know, that unfolds and go from there. Again, if he had spent the 2018 season with a more regular development path, I don't think it would have been shocking to see him up last year. But adding a fourth level last year after having a real solid year just wasn't something that we thought was worth putting on his plate. We wanted to bank a real excellent developmental step forward, and look forward to another one this year.
Michael Kopech coming back. What is the plan for him? And is it possible you might have to slow roll his return because he missed a whole year with Tommy John? Because he wasn't necessarily a finished product when you brought him up initially when he got hurt in the major leagues. What is the consensus among your group as to how this should be handled?
The consensus is that those points that you hit on are very fair and accurate, and we have to see how he is come spring training. We don't want to be in a position where we're sitting here come opening day and we have to depend on Michael Kopech for the next 6-7 months. We want to be smart about this because he hasn't faced major league hitters at that point in over 18 months or 20 months or so since the time of the surgery. And when he came up, he was obviously in a great position, but you're right, he wasn't a finished product. So we need to look at this. Where is he at in spring? He's going to come in without restriction. He's going to come in fully healthy with the rehabilitation completed. And other than the issues we've identified, you know, similar to any other starter. So what we're going to have to do is see exactly where he's at and then come up with a plan to put him in the best position to get through the 2020 season in a productive way. There'll probably have to be, obviously, like it is with most all guys coming off of TJ, you know, some innings management done over the course of the season. How we go about that, you know, we'll determine that come March.
And realistic expectations for Carlos Rodon in terms of that rotation, Rick?
I would say the timeline hasn't changed yet. It's probably not going to change until, you know, at least April or so when we can reevaluate where he's at after a full spring training. He continues to do his rehabilitation. It continues to go well. And the original return of, let's say, you know, post-All-Star break, you know, last couple of weeks of July or early August remains intact. So that can obviously move forward or backwards, depending on how things go once he starts throwing the hitters in earnest come next spring.
Rick, Matt and I talk a lot about it, and we talk a lot on the station about the surprising off-season start to baseball signings and trades. As an official who is involved in it on a daily basis and somebody that's competing against the other 29 clubs for certain players, are you as surprised as some of us, knowing that the last couple seasons have been extremely slow when you talk about free agency and trades weren't, you know, they weren't a huge part of what was going on?
Yeah, it's been a very robust early start to the offseason, which is nice. It makes, we certainly prefer that, as you have targets that you'd like to convert on, such as Grandal, and you're able to do something like that early in the offseason that, you know, removes one big priority for you, which is excellent. You know, there's definitely been robust bidding throughout free agency and a lot more trades than we've seen in years past. But we've seen winters like this before. It used to be, you know, certainly by, let's say, Sox Fest, the norm that, you know, most all the transactions were completed. Mm-hmm. Last couple of years, that hasn't really been the case. but this seems to be more more in line with past off seasons or the majority of past off seasons in the last couple, which is great. It certainly certainly is our preference.
As you line up possible starting pitching targets, Rick, and you think about which guy you'd love to target and close a deal with, do you find yourself considering where you are right now in the rebuild, where the organization is? Are you looking at a guy's possible ceiling, or do you look at a guy's potentially scary floor? Like, do you want to be safe with the signing, or are you going to try and swing for the fences with somebody who might be ace level, but maybe not quite as long as other guys?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, obviously, we're looking for someone who's going to remain productive well throughout this window. There's risk when you're talking about signing pitchers, especially veteran pitchers who've been around for a little bit. There's always risk in these signings. You certainly can find things in just about every free agent pitcher that would give you reason for concern going forward. And you need to sort of balance that against the reward that they bring. And what you outlined was sort of two different types of reward. One where it's that upside, potential ace, potential anchor for your rotation. And the other is, safer but stable and is going to, eat up some innings and lighten the load on these other guys, on the Giolitos and Ceases and Kopechs and the others that we have coming in the organization, which is a real benefit. Ideally, you find that sweet spot in terms of risk, reward, and cost that allows you to get a guy who not only sort of helps stabilize and lessen the load on the rest of the rotation, but still has that ace-type potential. Those are not so easy to find, especially given the risk involved in some veteran pitchers. But I think if you can thread that needle, then you've accomplished something.
So in those texts with Yasmani Grandal, as he mentioned, how much success Hyunjin Ryu had with him in L.A., I think they were very good together when they were Dodgers together.
They're certainly familiar with each other, that's for sure. And Yaz is not afraid to share his opinion on both our guys and guys that are available in the market.
Rick, so, in closing,
he's
with
not shy.
Rick, in closing with you, and Matt and I really appreciate your time today, is there a sense that teams, and yourself included here, would like to get something done before departing for tomorrow and getting trapped in the old free agent traps that are there and the, kind of getting caught up in what the winter meetings have been and can be going into this next 4 or 5 days?
I mean, the simple answer is we certainly prefer to do things sooner rather than later. That's generally true regardless of the time of year, whether it's prior to the winter meetings or prior to the holidays or prior to the trade deadline. We've always preferred to identify our targets and get them done quickly. I personally, think it's important, and we've talked about this in years past at the winter meetings, there's nothing magical about getting a deal done Tuesday at the winter meetings. Mm-hmm. It creates a little more buzz, perhaps, and fulfills some expectations within the fan base and the media, and is rewarding for the vast number of staff members that you have down there for these meetings. But a guy is not going to have any less impact on your team if you acquire him December 20th versus December 12th. So we do try to avoid that fever pitch and that momentum that exists that could draw you into doing something hastily. But I get it. I get it. Look, I obviously grew up a baseball fan and grew up very excited about the rumors around the winter meetings and eager for my team to do something, especially if you start seeing other teams do things.
I was making all that stuff up when you were listening.
I knew that, and it's still the case. So but it's I get it. From a fan standpoint, yeah, we want to go down there, hit on all our targets, get these deals done. But in reality, from an executive standpoint, as nice as it would be to get these things done today or tomorrow or over the course of the week in San Diego, it's less important to get them done there than it is just to get them done and on the right terms.
Oh, come on. Drunken cocktail napkin trades at 2 in the morning. Let's go, Rick.
You got the wrong guys.
I romanticize that as much as the next guy. That sounds awesome, and if we get something done that day, great. But that's not the goal.
You can't get drunk on those, mixed drinks with the pineapple on it.
Oh, in San Diego?
Where are you drinking?
Rick, we appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you. We'll be trolling the halls, following you and all the other 29 GMs and top officials around. It's always fun. It really is. There's a lot of energy at these meetings, and I've enjoyed each and every one of them. Look forward to seeing you there. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. Rick Hahn, the Vice President General Manager of your Chicago White Sox, and I get the sense that the White Sox will make a move here in the next few days.
You do, huh?
I do.
In terms of free agency,
I think they're going to get that one more free agent pitcher. They don't want to get trapped in that atmosphere there. That regardless of what Rick says, and you know he's right about it. He's been around and he's seen him for a long time. There is that. You know, you get caught up in the atmosphere, and all of a sudden, Ryu looks like a 5-year pitcher rather than 3-year pitcher.
Yeah,
you don't want that to happen. You want to get your guy right now, and I think the next 48 hours, the White Sox have a good chance of adding if they can get people to agree with their number.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.